This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for festive celebrations ushering in the carnival season, a birthday parade for Joan of Arc, or an exhibit that looks at Mardi Gras back in the day, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. As we prepare to usher in a new year, the Funny 40 Fellows are gearing up for their 12th night streetcar ride to announce the start of the carnival season, with a nod this year to the city's tricentennial anniversary. The captain of the Fellows, Peggy Scott Laborde, joins us. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. I appreciate the invite as always.
It's that time of year when New Orleanians prepare for more celebrating. What's on tap as your Mardi Gras crew, the Funny 40 Fellows, gear up for a major announcement?
We are so excited, and I think most Orleanians are very aware that there's a special birthday in 2018. So, of course, the Funny 40 Fellows on our historic streetcar ride will reflect that as well, with a lot of period costumes, including there is a rumor that Monsieur de Bienville will actually be making an appearance. Well, so I'm very excited by that. But this is something we've been doing for a long time. You know, we consider ourselves the heralds of carnival. We're announcing carnival by our historic streetcar ride. We start out at the Jeanette Street car barn, Willow Street car barn. Start gathering about 6:15. So we invite folks to come out and see us. We've got the Storyville Stompers who are playing in the car barn. We have them then on board. Everybody is masked and costumed, costumed sometimes satirically, costumed sometimes beautifully. They're bebopping, if you will, and that's an old expression, isn't it, to the amazing Storyville Stompers, brass band. They are very much a part of what we do. We choose our royalty during the ride, and we take the entire route of the St. Charles Avenue streetcar, and so that's great fun.
And all that happens on one streetcar?
Yes, it's amazing.
Now, you choose your royalty on the streetcar. You have a queen and a boss. How did King get to be called boss instead of King?
Well, this is sort of a nod to the original Funny Fellows. And the original Funny Fellows, and Diane, we should say, since this is radio, it's PH, Funny 40 Fellows, actually existed from 1878 to 1898. And they were known for their satire. They were a marching club, walking club rather, and then they had their own parade. But it was always about satire. A group of us in 1980 came up with the idea of reviving this. And in 1981, we hit the streets with some people who may regard finally the Crew of Clones, which now it's sort of a precursor to Coup de Vue. And so we marched with them for many years, and then we decided to do our streetcar. We refer to Boss because that is what the original King was called with the original PPP.
And the queen and the boss, how are they chosen?
What happens is there are two giant king cakes, and last year's queen and last year's boss are distributing slices of a king cake. And then the lucky new monarch finds out that night. And it's really fun to see their faces like, ah! So much fun.
You began our conversation talking about the Funny 40 Fellows as the heralds of carnival. You're also known as the dessert of carnival. Why do some refer to the crew by that name?
Because of the satirical nature. Invariably in our costumes, there's a lot of funny stuff with a PH. And so this mix of both beauty and satire, especially as we said, we invite people to come out and check out the costumes and visit with us. Also, this year we have a very, very limited number of favors with the PH, which we'll hand out during the ride itself, if you will, when we stop, because we have to stop occasionally, you know, for red lights and stuff. But we'll have a few favors. We've got a few magnets. We've got metal arm cuff bracelets. They have the PPP logo on them this year's.
And and that logo is an owl?
Always an owl from the get-go, from the original Funny 40 Fellows. Their mascot, if you will, was an owl. And actually, that is what happened in 1980. My husband and I were attending an estate sale, and we were looking for Mardi Gras memorabilia, since we're very interested in the history of Carnival. And I found an admit card to a ball, and it was in the shape of a wing. And I thought, what is this? And it was the wing of an owl. Ah. And it was great because the ball was taking place at the French Opera House, one of my favorite places that I wish was still around, which was, of course, at the corner of Bourbon and Toulouse Street. It was considered really the cultural center of New Orleans. And that's where a lot of Mardi Gras balls took place as well. But that owl admit card influenced what we've been doing for a long time.
And Peggy, what is your wish for Mardi Gras 2018?
That people really have fun. I know a lot of groups also do good, which is terrific in terms of fundraising throughout the year. But you can do good, you can do well, and have fun all at the same time. And everybody always wishes for great weather, too, of course.
Peggy Scott Laborde, captain of the Funny 40 Fellows. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
The Funny 40 Fellows will take their annual streetcar ride Saturday, January 6th. They gather at the Willow Street Car Barn at 6:30 p.m. and will board the streetcar at 7 p.m. sharp. They will follow the traditional St. Charles Avenue streetcar route. Across town, the crew of Joan of Arc is gearing up for its annual walk through the French Quarter. The medieval theme procession celebrates Twelfth Night and the saint's birthday. Parade founder Amy Kirk is here. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
You are celebrating 10 years. How has this walking parade grown?
Oh, it's so exciting. I really love knowing that we've made it to 10. A couple of years ago, it became really apparent and obvious that our 10-year was coinciding with the city's tricentennial, which we just think is so cool. And so it's been kind of this double celebration for me, just celebrating New Orleans and Joan of Arc.
Joan couldn't have picked a better birth date, one that coincides with the beginning of the carnival season. What revelry do you have planned for this year's procession?
We start with her birthday cake in the front, and then we tell her story from childhood and hearing her voices all the way through her trial and death to beautiful angels at the end and her legacy. This year, we will have our king and queen on horseback, and so we're going to have more horses than usual. And we also have more music than usual and more special guests. This year, I'm proud to say, we are being visited purposefully by a group from Orléans, France. The mayor himself is coming to watch our parade. And 2 days later, he will be signing a document with our mayor to make a sister city of the two of us. So Orléans, France, and New Orleans will become sister cities. And they've been very interested in our parade for years. So we're really honored. There'll be 10 people, including the mayor of Orléans, from their city council, and their government officials will be on the balcony at the Williams Research Center with our Consulate General of France in New Orleans, of course, Vincent Siama. And he will do the toast, and we'll also honor these special guests who will get to see the parade from the balcony and view us from above. And they also are very curious about how we put the parade together. They want to know everything about what we do, and I think we're going to have a lot of interesting exchanges with them.
Who's in the royal court this year?
The Queen Yolande of Aragon is represented by none other than Kristen Gislason Palmer. Our Charles VII this year is Pierre-Luc Denichot, who is the vice principal at Ecole Belang. He came to us when he was new to Ecole Belang, which is one of the French immersion schools here. So he will be on horseback. You will actually find the king around his own court and some live music. We always have a group of musicians playing for the king. And then last but not least, of course, our most important character in the entire parade is our maid of honor, our student Joan that we choose every year through a contest. It is Martha Pinney, who is 16 and who has been walking with us since she was six.
That's pretty cool. You're traveling back in time to 15th century France. What are the highlights of Joan's story that will be portrayed along the route?
She will be portrayed in our Domremy battalion, surrounded by her villagers. And these were the days that she went to church, was a shepherdess, learned to weave and prayed a lot, and heard her voices starting at age 13.
Heard her voices. What are you referring to?
She claims that she heard St. Catherine, St. Margaret, and St. Michael speak to her in her garden when she was 13. And by the time she was 16, the voices were so strong, she felt she couldn't ignore them. And they also were more purposeful. They were telling her exactly what to do, which was to go to the governor and ask for an army so that she could help save France. So we tell the story of Joan really from the point where she is a young woman, a young teenager, up until her trial at age 19 and death at that age. And then we have a beautiful kind of culmination to the parade of a couple dozen angels from the Chorus Girls Project who give us hope at the end.
Your parade favors are always so creative. What's new this year?
We've done a Joan of Arc doll every year, but this year's doll is a very special portrayal of her as Saint Joan. We also have medallions and various items, from stickers and tattoos to magnets and other things with the special 10-year anniversary logo. So try to get something with 10 year on it. We're also having our Joan of Arc maid of honor give out 19 decorated swords. She always gives out 16 because that's the age she was when she received her sword, or found her sword, as the legend is. And we're having her give out 19 just for a little special oomph for this year. And you'll see her on the horse with two pages who will be helping her give out these very, very, very limited edition hand-decorated wooden swords. Every year we have a different St. Joan of Arc image and medallion, and those are in a nice little packet with our prayer cards. Each year we distribute a new version of a prayer card and also new playing cards. So if you've been coming to the parade in the past maybe 5 years, you should have a collection of these playing cards, and we'll have three new characters this year.
And you begin with cake and you wind down with cake.
It's true. We carry a large cake in the front of the parade to remind people we're not just arbitrarily walking on Twelfth Night just because we love the cold. We're walking on Twelfth Night and it works for our costumes. We're walking on Twelfth Night because it happens to be Joan of Arc's birthday. So we carry this huge papier-mâché cake. We have a couple of jesters and a band leading us. And that is the cake that we put our tea light candles on at the end of the parade. So hopefully you'll get one of these tea light candles along the way, and you can add it to the cake at the end. And that is at the end at Washington Artillery Park, across from Jackson Square, where we put those candles on that big cake. And we do share a king cake with our king, queen, and maid, who all give a little speech. The king, Charles VII character, will give Joan of Arc her first king cake of the season, which represents her birthday cake, and then she gives him his first king cake, and that's perfect for King's Day. So she honors her king, and he honors the maid who helped make him king, and it works perfectly for King's Day. And that's the grand finale. And this year, there's a super grand finale because the city is hosting a tricentennial fireworks show. They're kind of kicking off the tricentennial on January 6th as part of a King's Day celebration, but they're considering it a tricentennial celebration as well. So we started our parade at 6 o'clock, so we're sure to end by 8:30, and you can enjoy the fireworks with us at 9 on the river.
Amy Kirk, founder of the crew of Joan of Arc. Sounds like so much fun.
It's a very special 10-year celebration and a very special 300 years of New Orleans time. So I think it's a great reason to come out and celebrate everyone's history and the future of New Orleans with us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The 10th Annual Joan of Arc Parade kicks off Saturday, January 6th, 6 p.m. sharp, beginning at Toulouse and Decatur in the French Quarter. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Think you've seen it all during Mardi Gras? You should see how it looked back in the day. The New Orleans Museum of Art has an exhibit called Bringing Fantasy to Carnival. It highlights the turn-of-the-century work of Swedish artist Bror Anders Wikström. For the crews of Proteus and Rex, WWNO's Eileen Fleming dropped by for a tour.
We're up here on the second floor in a little room tucked off the Great Hall, and it's a special exhibit that involves carnival, and I'm with...
Mel Buchanan. I'm the curator of decorative arts here at the New Orleans Museum of Art.
Bringing fantasy to carnival. So tell me about these pieces.
Well, this is an exhibition dedicated to a New Orleans artist who was prolific at the turn of the century. This exhibition looks at Wickstrom's designs for carnival. The crews of Proteus and Rex had him as their lead designer, doing floats and costumes. So it's looking at that part of this artist's prolific career.
He was like the Kern of his day?
He was the Kern of his day, but he was also doing portraits and landscape paintings and actually a piece of furniture. But ultimately, he became a New Orleanian. He was here in New Orleans from 1880 until he passed away in 1909. Who's heard of Wickstrom unless you're a diehard New Orleans Mardi Gras fan? But when this museum was founded, Wickstrom was very important to the arts community here in New Orleans. Wickstrom was one of the founders of the New Orleans Artists Associations, artists that would get together every year and have exhibitions, but they didn't have a place. So that was one of the sparks that motivated Isaac Delgado to put together a museum for the city of New Orleans, so that we would have a place for exhibitions like this.
Well, he's really critical to the whole museum itself.
I think that's very... He was one of many people, but he was a very important organizer. He had kind of an atelier in the French Quarter. He brought people together and was a great organizer. And when this building was being built, so 1909, construction is happening. We opened in 1910. Wickstrom passed away in 1909. And so that was tied into... maybe how his name ended up on the building. Because if you visit NoMA and you look carefully around the architecture on the exterior of the original building, you'll see names of great artists. You'll see West, Audubon, Copley, Stewart for Gilbert Stewart. But then mixed in, you're going to see Clegg for the New Orleans artist, Richard Clegg. And you'll see Wickstrom. If you go over by the museum shop and look up, you'll see the name Wickstrom. So he was very important at the founding of this museum. But really the part of his career that became fascinating to me for this exhibition was his work for Mardi Gras. And if you're going to do any research on Mardi Gras and drawings in this city, you have many resources. One of them is Tulane's phenomenal Louisiana research collection that has a carnival collection. So many of the drawings in this exhibition were from our partners at Tulane that lent these wonderful works here to be framed and put on the wall. We also worked with Henri Schindler, a great historian of Mardi Gras, borrowed things from his private collection, and Dr. Hales, who many of us know is a beloved pediatrician, but is the historian for Rex, and was Rex, King of Carnival last year. He connected us to the collection that they have there at the Den of Rex, and we borrowed some things.
So let's take a look. These colors are amazing.
So Wickstrom was so prolific, he was designing parades for 25 years. So if any of us who've seen a parade know that each one has 20 or more floats plus costumes. So there were a lot of this material was saved. There was a lot out here to choose for this exhibition. So to help narrow it down, I just started playing a game. I was trying to see when I could find, say, a float design that also had its costume designs, and we might be able to see that same float in a photograph to see how then this two-dimensional artwork was translated into the three dimension to see, you know, how it was actually experienced by the public. So there's a collection of these wonderful vintage views showing these fantastical floats going down Canal Street. One that we're standing in front of looking right now is one of the first nighttime view of a Mardi Gras parade. We see the crew of Proteus with this float that has a towering devil figure over a basket. And the basket, the rim of the basket has playing cards, and spilling out of this basket are all manner of sin. You see women drinking and playing cards and gambling. So we see that in the nighttime view with the strings of lights above it and all of the crowd cheering, and the flambeaux were there. But then beside that, you see Wickstrom's design drawing, where you can see it carefully delineated with the measurements. You know that this float was exactly 18 feet tall. You can see a plan view. You know that it was float number 11 in the 1898 Proteus Parade. And then you can also see two of the costumes. We didn't have room for everything, but two of the costumes called out. And you see these wonderful characters wearing sort of, I guess, a Renaissance court style imaginary dress, raising up champagne glasses to toast Mardi Gras.
They're so intricate.
I love getting in close. For me, there are two ways to look at it. You can look at how these were used as maybe the construction drawing. The measurements are there, the exact numbers, but there's also a little bit of fantasy. He was certainly having fun with these, with a little artistic flourish. There's little dips of metallic. They're beautiful artworks.
And what about these over here? These are striking.
Yes. One of the highlights of this exhibition is having an entire parade's worth of floats. That's 20. And these are large-scale drawings, and by the time you frame them, they have a great presence. But we hung three deep, that means stacked three high. We have on one wall having the entire 1904 Proteus parade. It was called the Alphabet, and each of the parade floats is a letter of the alphabet.
Do you know what they were made of?
Paper mache is what I think the basis. So there's carving in wood, but you know, like today, they were stripped away and rebuilt each year. So you know, it was essentially a temporary type of art, paper mache.
Curator of this exhibit, Mel Buchanan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen.
Bringing Fantasy to Carnival is now on display at NOMA and will run through April 29th.
Tell you what's carnival for. Get your ticket in your hand.
That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack, wishing you and yours a happy and safe New Year.